Hello, this is Danielle, and welcome to an episode of The Pod Couple.
Yeah, I'm Keith, and it's been almost a year, Danielle.
It has. It's been a long, long time. Like, in fact, we just had to record this like 10 times because we didn't know how to start.
No, and I mean, somehow after podcasting for like a year, I feel like I'm worse than I was when I started.
It's just because you and I haven't talked for a full year.
Yeah, like we literally don't talk day to day ever.
No, we never.
That's the only way our marriage works.
Yeah, we just wave and then I go upstairs.
I don't wave. And then, you wave, I ignore you. You go upstairs and then I think about where my life went wrong.
Yeah, basically. So, this is the first time we're back together.
Well, I think it's good that we're opening up this dialogue again because we're going to have a kid together.
I know. Somehow in that year, we had got pregnant. Well, I got pregnant.
Yeah, I can't get pregnant. This isn't the movie Junior.
And we are expecting our first baby girl in June.
We are. It's crazy.
I know. How are you feeling about it? Like, has it hit you yet?
Well, so I'm 28, but I feel like I'm 12.
Yeah.
And the idea of being responsible for myself is overwhelming enough, and now I'm responsible for another human being. It's, I don't know. It hasn't quite hit me yet, but it is a bit kind of shocking, you know?
I know. I'm expecting, like, so as the first trimester was just like, oh, this is, you know, exciting. I'm sick. Second trimester was like, oh, I'm really excited and I feel great. As I'm heading into the third trimester, I'm expecting that first wave of panic to hit and be like, oh my God,
yeah,
I need to take care of this baby.
Well, I think we both should be a little more panicked than we are.
I think we will.
Because we have no idea what we're doing. We did build a crib, though.
We did.
And by build, I mean assemble. And there was only like 8 parts.
Yeah.
And it didn't go that well.
I think it went very well. I think you were very, like, we were both very calm and it came together really quickly.
Which is a rarity that we're calm.
I know. Well, you would think with, like, we get a box of all these parts that, you know, it could have potential.
Well, so that's why it's good that we're having a daughter, because even like things that are just being assembled are a little daunting for me. So I'm not good with all the adult male things that I would want to teach a son. So with a daughter, the pressure's off, you know?
Yeah, were saying that yesterday.
The pressure's kind of on you to show her how to be a young woman.
A woman, yeah. A woman in society. Oh my God, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently it means to podcast in your basement while wearing a blanket.
It was cold down here.
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're just going to have to learn to deal with it.
The cold?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you meant our kid.
Both. Well, how are you feeling? I literally get asked every day 5 times or more how you're doing.
I know. It's kind of like, it's different to kind of go around all these different places and have people ask how I'm doing all the time. Like, I feel like like I'm the like belle of the ball or something.
You're finally getting the attention you don't get in your marriage.
Like it's so nice that all these people care. Sometimes I feel bad because I'm like, I'm great. I'm not tired and I'm going to work and I'm doing everything that I normally do.
I know you haven't changed at all. So sometimes I see myself like letting you do things. I'm like, I really shouldn't be letting my pregnant wife do this, but I feel like you wouldn't have it any other way.
No, and it's only just recently that I've started needing more help because I've realized, like, I can't run up and down the stairs because I'll trip and fall.
Well, okay, you trip and fall either way.
Like 60 miles an hour.
You were clumsy when you weren't pregnant.
I know, but now it's, like, more of a hazard.
Yeah.
Because it's not just me that I could hurt. So I've had to learn to slow down a bit, and I am getting a little more achy now. So I do have days where I'm very tired and achy, but you've been great. You've been making dinner and cleaning up and Well, this is not the pod couple we used to have.
No. Huh? When we're big, well, we're still bickering plenty.
Nah.
What I'm worried about most right now is decorating the nursery.
Yeah.
Properly. Right now, so I painted it a few weeks ago, which sucked. Maybe about a month ago. And I realized I hate painting.
Yeah, painting sucks.
You didn't paint, though.
I know. I just watched.
Because you do this thing where you tell me everything's bad for the baby. So it's like, paint fumes are bad for the baby.
No, I don't. I have been
picking up the
good.
Cat box is bad for the baby.
Those are both very true.
Touching dish soap is bad for the baby.
No, I do dishes.
Watching shows I like is bad for the baby.
You wish. I have not done that at all. I have not used excuses.
I know. I was kidding. I was kidding. You've been great. You've been great. But I don't know. But back to the nursery.
Yeah.
It was yellow, but we painted it like a warmer yellow. Still light, but it's like on the warm side versus
it's
the...
It's not so blinding.
Yeah. Like the old yellow that was in that room when we moved in was like highlighter yellow almost.
Yeah.
Like a dull highlighter, but still highlighter. Now it's much more inviting, much, you know, easier on the eyes.
The cats seem to like it, too.
Yeah, the cats hang out in that room all the time. but now, so we built the crib. The crib's white. The walls are yellow. You bought a few lamps with purple shades, like lavender shades.
Yep.
And I don't know. What else are you envisioning?
Well, I have bedding all picked out, and that's, like, lavender as well. And then, like, a gray rocking chair. And then I really liked your idea of using the nursery blocks. So I've been trying to find a print of just an old-fashioned nursery block in purple.
I want actual wood carved into blocks and painted.
Oh, that would be cool.
You know, maybe we can find them on Etsy.
Yeah.
With the letter of our daughter's first name.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if we're going to put it on podcast what we're thinking yet.
No, not definitely not, because we haven't told anybody in person. But we do
have a name. Well, we've told a few friends.
We haven't told them that that's the name that we're like 98% sure.
I mean, we've said that that's the leader. And now if they listen to this, they can put two and two together.
Yeah, but we want to reserve the right to change our minds.
Yeah, so we won't be buying any blocks until 100% until we know. But we need to find him. Or maybe we will. And once we buy those blocks, then her name's going to be set in wood.
Then, can't change after that.
Yeah. But so, you know, we're feeling good. This is the first podcast we've really talked about the fact that we're having a kid.
I know. There's been allusions to it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. and so, but in the meantime, we're trying to spend as much time together, just the two of us.
Yeah.
Until the baby comes, and today
it's
was
been
no
very
different.
Nice spending lots of time with you.
We went to a movie today.
Yes, we did.
I called you when you were at the grocery store, and I was like,
"Mind you, it was 10 a.m."
All right. Well, so AMC theaters, any shows before 11 a.m. you can get for $6.
Yes.
So I was like, This playing was 10:55, so it was the latest in the day we could possibly see a movie for $6 at the theater we
But the way it came up on my end, I get a call from Keith, and I'm like on my way out of the grocery store, and I'm like, God damn it, if he wants a donut, I'm just telling him no, because I am not going back in that grocery
store.
You think
so little of
me. I hate that grocery store. And so he goes, what are your plans for today? And I'm like, I don't know. What are you thinking of doing? And he's like, want to see a 10:55 movie? I was like, what? Sure.
Well,
I asked if we could eat popcorn.
Yeah, that was the major.
Yeah.
That was the thing you were most concerned about.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure at 10:55 they would be serving popcorn.
Yeah.
And they were.
Yeah.
And then I ordered a large because you always yell at me for eating too much. And I was like,
you eat really fast. So
well, I
didn't
eat it all today.
I'm nervous that like you're going to eat it all, but I was full by the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like so much popcorn.
Yeah.
I ate way too much, but I hadn't eaten all day.
Yeah.
But the movie.
Yes.
So we didn't know much going in, but we saw 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yes.
it came highly recommended by a lot of people on Rotten Tomatoes, as well as my brother Ryan. It's executive produced by J.J. Abrams, Bad Robot Productions.
Did he do Lord of the Rings?
Oh my God. Why do you even talk about movies on podcasts?
I'm sorry.
He was the director of the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, that's how he's... yeah.
He also did Star Trek, okay. The first Star Trek movie. Maybe the second, I don't know. But those are probably his two okay. most famous. He started on TV with Alias and then Lost.
Yeah.
He also did a movie called Super 8 and then... Actually, he also did the movie Cloverfield, I believe.
I was going to say, I thought there was a Cloverfield movie.
Yeah, and this is 10 Cloverfield Lane, yeah. And when it shows the title, like the title screen, it showed Cloverfield first, and then it said 10 Cloverfield Lane. So I was wondering if they were going to tie the two movies yeah. together, and I don't think, I'm going to have to look it up. Like, there was no, like, overt, like, homages to Cloverfield or no, like, connections no. that I saw. Other than the title.
Yeah. So sorry to derail and go on who J.J. Abrams was. Did you like the movie?
Oh, I thought the movie was, like, awesome. Like, we both said how we had very, you know, didn't know what to expect. I had seen the trailer once, and I didn't really understand what it was. It's a movie that kind of super simple. There's only really three characters the entire movie.
Yeah.
Just small set because they're down in a bunker the whole time. But they really had some great performances, particularly from John Goodman.
Yes.
Being the guy who had these two other people sort of trapped in his bunker.
Yeah.
Saying that he had saved their lives from what was going on.
Outside.
But, you know, we can get more into the details of the movie, but what did you think?
I liked it, too. I still kind of feel like I'm just, like, waking up, because I feel like I was down there with them for the entire
yeah.
part of the movie, so I kind of left it being like, whoa, like, here I am in real life again. I'm out of the bunker.
Well, I mean, the ending was pretty shocking, and I don't want to spoil it here.
It's hard. Like, I don't know how much I can talk about the movie.
So we're not going to... We can talk plenty about the movie.
Yeah.
Because, really, the big reveal isn't till the very end.
Yeah.
So if we back up. So basically what this movie is we're following our main character, Michelle. She's in her car. And she gets a message from her boyfriend, or she's on a phone call, whatever. And he's like, Michelle, you got to come back. You know, I know we had a fight, but you can't always just run from your problems, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. And then she hangs up, and then he calls again. She looks down at her phone, and she gets in a car accident.
Yeah.
And that's within, like, the first 50 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
I
like how the beginning was done, actually, because there was no dialogue, but you got a sense of the whole story by, like, just her actions. Like, she left, like, a ring on the count.
Yep.
So, I think they were engaged or married.
Yep. Well, it's an engagement ring, because she doesn't have she only left one ring, unless she doesn't have her wedding band.
Yeah, you know. But it was all, like, shown through actions. It was just this first shot was just her, like, packing up really quickly, like, deliberately taking certain items that kind of come back later in the movie,
yep.
and then, like, leaving that ring on the counter. So without saying anything at all, we knew that she was leaving her fiancé.
Yep, which is great, because they really, they streamlined the movie a lot, you know, but
they
communicated a lot of backstory. So
yeah.
through that little montage you described, and then the phone call she got in the car from mm-hmm. her fiance, not boyfriend, we kind of got most of her story. But then she gets hit by a car, and she starts spinning out, and, like, huge, huge, like, loud, bombastic, you know, sound effects.
Yeah.
And then... And then it flashes the title of the screen. I mean, the title of the movie on the screen mm-hmm. with no sound whatsoever. And then, like, 5 seconds later, the title disappears and there's more super loud music. And then, you know, like, one more title screen. And then we kind of, we see the car in the ditch. And yeah. we're just kind of, that's, like, the first, like, it really sets the tone.
Yeah, it was very artistic. I really like how that beginning was.
Yeah. So then not to, and then when after the car crash, Michelle wakes up into the bunker that we yes. were describing earlier. And John Goodman brings her some food and is yeah. like, "You're lucky I found you." And she's like, "What are you going to do to me?" She thinks he's going to kill her.
Yeah, because she's chained down. She's yeah. attached to the wall. Like, she has this big brace on her leg.
Yep. And then, so most of the movie is down there. And yeah. he's trying to convince her that there's been some sort of attack on yeah. Earth and that the air isn't safe to breathe anymore. Yeah. So they need to stay in the bunker.
And he's kind of crazy. So that's the thing. You're always like, do you believe him or not? Like, yeah. is he just like some crazy guy that's saying yeah. all this?
So most of the movie is you're trying to figure out John Goodman with Michelle. Like yeah. Michelle's trying to feel him out. And I won't go too much further into it. That's the basic setup. But we have, like, a whole range of emotions. Like, when Michelle doesn't trust him, like, mm-hmm. there's no reason for us to trust him either.
Yeah.
And then at some point, something happens that sort of lends credence to his story.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's and then it gets turned, yeah. like, flipped on its head again, where you're like, oh, crap, he actually might be the insane person we thought he was.
Yeah. It's hard. And you could see there being all those ups and downs because, like, you're trapped in this bunker with this person, you probably do want to believe that he's a good person because you're stuck with him.
Yeah, it's easier like to believe him.
Survival mode.
And there was a third person there.
Yeah, made it a lot more yeah. interesting too.
Emmett. He was actually one of the people that worked on the bunker with John Goodman. And the first little hint that John Goodman might be telling the truth is that Emmett tells Michelle that he wasn't captured. He begged to come into the shelter.
Yeah.
So she started kind of trusting him. Something happened, like I said, to flip that on its head.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole time, like, the mm-hmm. audience is trying to figure out, okay, is John Goodman good or bad?
Yeah.
And what's happening up beyond the bunker?
Yeah.
We don't get to see that until, like, the last 5 minutes or 10 minutes of the movie. And it ended up being, I think, a great reveal. The reveal could be pretty polarizing.
Yeah.
But as much as, like, it was, the anticipation of that was fun, I think the movie itself was great.
Yeah.
Like, the interaction of the three characters in the bunker absolutely made it, like, a great experience
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, and you need that because your whole movie is set in one small spot, so you need to have the, like, good interaction between them and storyline to kind of make it so you're not bored of seeing people yeah. in the same spot.
Exactly. If you had weak performances or, mm-hmm. you know, kind of crappy dialogue, it would have been a tough movie to sit through.
Yeah. yeah.
But instead, it went by really quickly, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I would recommend it to, like, anyone, you know, even if there are going to be plenty of people who don't like the ending, but mm-hmm. I think the movie itself is strong enough that everyone will leave it thinking it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny because if the trailers that were before the movie were all, like, superhero.
Yeah, they
like
were all Marvel movies.
Blockbuster, yeah. like, huge movies with gigantic
there
budgets.
There was, like, 20 minutes of,
oh my God.
Of previews.
The trailers, like, we didn't get to see Batman versus Superman.
No,
though.
I was surprised
I was
that
bummed.
That wasn't one.
But I guess this was a Paramount movie, and that's a Warner Brothers movie.
Okay.
So, you know, they don't play nice.
No, they wouldn't have the competition up there.
But we've been watching a lot of stuff lately.
Yeah, we watched a movie last night with Jake Gyllenhaal. What was The Nightcrawler?
Yeah, on Netflix.
That was a weird, weird movie. But at the same time, it was Jake Gyllenhaal just put on, like, such an amazing performance that it was, like, feel like that kind of made it. It was because his character was just so strange.
Well, yeah, like his character was someone who had no social skills and literally learned everything he knew from
on the internet.
Yeah. So like, even in his like speech patterns and what he would talk about, like if anyone brought anything up, he would just tell them about it, but he wouldn't know how to have like an actual conversation or make any sort of connections. But the beginning is him basically robbing a dude.
Yeah, so he basically starts out as a he was just trying to like get by, I think, so he was doing crimes to get money and like trying to sell stolen parts. And then in his on his way home, he witnesses a car accident and sees this guy with a camera running up to it, and he after asks the guy, oh, like how much do you like make by selling these stories to the news? And the guy's like tells him a few hundred bucks and stuff, and he like it's weird because even though he was a robber, he had this drive, like he wanted to become someone successful. So
well, yeah, I mean,
he sees that and that's his opportunity. He's like, oh, I could do that. I'd need to buy a camera and a police scanner.
So he steals a dude's bike and he pawns the bike and he buys a police scanner and a camera.
Yeah.
And then he just starts poking his head where it doesn't belong in literally every crime there is. And he progressively gets like better and better footage because he has no boundaries because he's never really interacted in society. So he'll break into crime scenes and get footage that no one else is willing to get. But just over the movie, you see him become increasingly more successful. He gets a better car. He gets better equipment. And more confident
in himself, which is scary.
But the whole time, you can't really relate to him because he doesn't know how to relate to people. Like,
no.
Like, he takes one of the news people on a date and basically, like, blackmails her into being his like, sort of girlfriend.
Yeah.
By saying he's going to take the footage to a different station.
Yeah. And then he gets people to work for him by saying that they need to be interns first and work their way up. So basically he doesn't have to pay them.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. Like, it actually ends up being a super dark movie.
It does,
because you just learn how little respect and care he has for other people. No, he's
like a textbook, and it was weird hearing him talk about business, because he was basically a business textbook. Like, he used all of the buzzwords that you would learn in a business class, and it was weird, because he could sound very intelligent.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like he went on Reddit, and he looked at all, like, the life pro tips and how to manipulate people.
Yeah.
And he manipulated everyone.
Yeah.
Like, but so, like, you know, it was just textbook, like you were saying, it was textbook manipulation.
Yeah, even his conversations with people were definitely very textbook, like, and rehearsed.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
So it was a really good performance by him. And it was really like a one character movie. Like, everyone else was just kind of there to kind of progress the story.
Yeah, I feel like Jake Gyllenhaal is very underrated because he just can play so many different types of characters.
Oh, my God. His range is crazy.
Yeah.
But he plays so many, like, sort of, like,
dark,
demented characters.
He does.
Like, we just saw Southpaw, which was another dark movie.
Yeah, we watched that on Christmas, which was not a movie you watch on Christmas night.
All right. Well, whatever. Southpaw, I mean, not Southpaw, Nightcrawler's good, dark, won't be everyone's cup of tea.
No, it's free on Netflix.
Super, Netflix isn't free.
Oh, well, I mean, if you have Netflix, it's free.
No, it's not free, you're paying for the right to watch it. Look.
Get your money's worth of your $7.
Have I ever told the story where my 8th grade math teacher just laid into me for saying that the food on a cruise was free?
No.
Yeah.
Is that why you have this thing?
Well, in eighth grade, we got back from February vacation, and she asked, what have you done? what did everyone do? And I said how I went on a cruise and I was really excited to talk about it because I had a really good time.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, and like I could eat whatever food I wanted and it was free. And like,
oh no.
And she just was like, your parents paid good money for that. And I was like, yeah, I didn't have to pay for it though. You know, but I'll never forget that moment.
Wow. Did she embarrass you in front of the class?
I felt really embarrassed, but you know yeah. how I am with awkward situations.
How long did her ripping into you last?
It felt like, you know, 20 minutes, but it was probably like two.
Wow.
And I say ripping into you, but she kind of calmly but forcefully explained to me that yeah. I was very wrong in my assertion that the food was free.
She's probably dealing with some kids at home that were not respecting the amount of money that she spent on them.
Look, I appreciated the trip, but I stand by the fact that I did not pay for any food on that cruise.
You didn't. Because so I didn't pay for anything. So to you, it was free.
It was free and unlimited, and that's...
Just like how housing to you was free when you were a kid?
Not anymore.
No. It's crazy how nothing is free anymore.
Except
yeah.
the anime we've been watching is actually free. Because you watch it on Hulu. Not Hulu Plus, but Hulu.
Oh, so we can watch things on Hulu for free, but not Hulu Plus.
Yeah. You just have to sit through some of the commercials.
But yes, we watched anime, so
first time ever.
And Kev, if you're listening to Danielle and Keith do anime.
No, yeah, so
or watch anime, so you don't have to.
Yeah. So, well, Steve and Kevin, their podcast didn't work on us because we're supposed to not have to watch the episode.
But we did.
So this is the first anime we've watched.
Yeah.
I think it'll probably be the last.
Yeah,
but we're really enjoying it.
Not all of them are like this.
Well, I don't know, but, like, I'm a little nervous to go too far off the beaten path, you know?
That's true.
So we watched Erased.
Yes.
We haven't finished it yet, but it came highly recommended from Kevin and Steven. Steven, that's yeah. right. I call Sheridan Steven now.
Oh, you call him Steven?
No, I was kidding.
Oh.
Kevin and Steven, I liked how that sounded because both the ends. Yeah. Yeah. So we follow this dude, and I've heard his name 100 times. It's Satoru, I think.
Yeah, I think it's Satoru.
The names are hard.
Yeah.
But he basically has something called, I think, revival or something like that, where he'll go back in time when something bad happens to a little bit before that bad thing happens so he can stop it.
Yeah.
So he starts as an adult, and then at the end of the first episode, there's a big tragedy in his life, and he has a huge revival that sends him back to when he was like
a kid,
like 12 or something.
Yeah.
And we find out that there was a big a series of child abductions that happened in his childhood, and now he's gone back in time to try to stop those.
Yeah.
So it's like some heavy, dark material.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
And it's like a mystery because we have to figure out who did these things. He has to figure out who did the things so we can stop them. But it's a great, entertaining drama.
Yeah, it's really drama. Interesting. Yeah, and you get past the subtitles, too, because you do have to read those.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to say that. Yeah. It's all in Japanese.
Yeah.
There are some very anime things about it, though.
Yeah, like, when they get excited, they get really excited. Like, they're like, sorry, Miss Elizabeth, she just saw that.
And anytime they're talking about, like, and granted, they're children for the most part. But whenever they're talking about, like, if a girl and a boy, like each other.
Yeah, they do that weird thing again.
They do that weird thing. And they always, what is that one guy that looks like a girl always say that about Satoru? That he has guts or something?
Oh, yeah. You've got guts.
Or something like that. But it's just like, I'm sure if we watched more anime, it wouldn't be so jarring.
Yeah.
And the intro music.
Yeah, it's really weird because it's a dark show, but like the intro song sounds like the intro to like a Saturday morning cartoon.
Or like Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
Like it's that tone.
Yeah.
So it tonally, it doesn't fit at all, it seems. But I don't know.
But it's really good. Yeah, I was surprised to like it because I always, you know.
Well, it has the dramatic elements that we both
like. It does. It's funny how we're watching all of these like dark things, you know, right before we have a child.
Yeah, it'll go away soon. We need to
lighten it up a little bit, don't we?
We'll not lighten it up when there's, you know, a little baby.
Yeah.
That we have to think about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so that was basically what we've been watching lately.
Yeah, and I guess most of this podcast is what we've been watching, because it's been winter.
I know.
We've just been shut up inside our little bunker.
Yeah, I've been going a little crazy. Yeah. Crazy enough to make a bet with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, remember?
Oh, yeah, your bet.
We made a big bet.
I like it when Keith makes bets, because it's ways for me to add things that I want him to do in there. Because Keith likes to set up competitions for himself. So, like, he found out recently that there's this gaming console
Nintendo NX for a while now.
Okay, well, he just brought it to my attention a few weeks ago, and he needs to earn money for it. So,
well, that's not the bet, Danielle. You're complicating
things.
I'm
leading it into it.
No, you're you're complicating
things.
Okay,
fine. What's it?
We're starting with the bet.
Okay.
Because what you're leading to is not the bet itself, but
the way you will get it.
Essentially, the bet is, and you don't really get anything out of the bet itself.
No, I get into the way you earn money for the bet. Yes. For the thing
you
want.
So step one, the bet is if I have a Coke at all for the rest of 2016, I can never, ever, ever own a Nintendo NX. So I can't buy it. Nope. I can't receive it as a gift. I shouldn't even think about it because it'll make me too sad.
Yeah.
So this was a way for me to try to quit drinking soda.
Because you wanted to do that, but you needed to create an incentive for yourself.
Yeah. Well, so I listened to Radiolab recently, and they talked about how hard it is to kick a habit that offers instant gratification just because there's a threat of, like, ramifications in the future.
Yeah.
So I tried to make some, like, ramifications that would, like, happen immediately if I were to drink a soda.
Yeah.
And those ramifications are, if I drink a soda, I lose the bet.
That's a good way to do it, because, yeah, otherwise you just won't, because it's like, oh, I'll deal with dealing with the long-term effects of soda when I get older, you know? It is hard to think in a long-term sense, yeah, when you just need that immediate sugar or that caffeine or whatever.
Yeah, and I think the example in Radiolab was a guy was trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't because of the immediate gratification versus the threat of, you know, lung cancer, you know, down the road. So he basically decided to announce to anyone that would listen that he was quitting smoking, particularly his daughters, and he said, "Daughters, if I ever smoke again, I don't want you to ever respect me again. I don't want you to really talk to me. I don't want you to, you know, treat me the way you do now." Like,
yeah,
he just, you know, and I don't know if or when they would do that.
Yeah.
But for him, it was enough. Like, mentally, he said after that, he never smoked again.
Wow.
So I tried to use that as a way. I mean,
so for you, it's not about losing my respect, but it's about getting that Nintendo console.
Yeah, well, it's about losing my own respect, too. Like, the Nintendo console was just like a... I feel like if I win the bet, it'll always represent ability, my power over soda.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that wasn't enough.
Nope.
Because I also like to make challenges for myself when it comes to, you know, exercise and doing chores and things like that. So Danielle and I have developed a system in which I can earn money for the NX, because the bet is that I can actually buy one.
Yep.
But I don't get to just spend any money, whatever money I want. I need to earn the money for it.
Yep.
So, Danielle, this is what you were hinting
at. Yes, this is what I was talking about. Okay, so yes, the bet itself is, if you don't drink soda, you have the permission to buy a Nintendo, but you need the funds. So to earn the funds, you've set up a system that combines your own personal health, so like going for runs, working out,
Yep.
Not buying pizza is that?
Well, so no, I mean that's so basically, I basically said if I spent money on food during the week, that it would go against my funds for the video games.
So that limits the pizza naturally.
Yeah, but that naturally limits, you know, the amount of junk food I eat.
Yeah. And then I added on, I'm like, oh, well, while we're at it, like, you know, if you make dinner and then you, like, clean the kitchen, then you can earn some other
if you do the cat box. So now I'm more, I'm incentivized to do all these things, and I track how often I do it, so I don't feel, I don't lose track of, you know, doing the cat box. So now I'm incentivized to do the cat box every day. Mm-hmm. I'm incentivized to do the dishes every day.
I thought you wanted to do the dishes because you loved me.
I do, but this is me tricking myself into doing it. Because mentally I want to do it, but sometimes
it's hard to motivate yourself.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So yes, so
this is how
I'm
you
like
can
a child.
Form the long-term habit of doing
yes.
it.
So I'm bribing myself to do what any good person should do. And it's not like I didn't do these things before, but it's just a way to keep me honest. And
it's a good way to make it a habit because you definitely want to do it more.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with paying some money for that. So,
well, let's be real. I would be buying this console either way. So it was kind of using the console as a motivating factor to be a little more, habitual about it.
Yeah.
But I don't want listeners to think I never do those things because I do them plenty.
No, you do them.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. But yeah.
But
so big bet.
Now it's more just a way to keep on a schedule, I think, of doing it. Yeah.
But big bet, you know, exercise is going well. I ran 12 miles yesterday. So that felt good, but it took a lot out of me.
Meanwhile, on my end, I'm struggling to make it to Zumba and doing low impact, and I feel like all I want to eat is ice cream.
Yeah, so we got ice cream yesterday. Apparently, Danielle bought Ben and Jerry's on Friday without telling me.
Yeah, I did.
And then she finished her ice cream that we got yesterday.
I finished half of it.
Well, no, didn't you still have more ice cream left?
Oh no! Yeah, so I got the ice cream from the Sullivan's
little stand yesterday after we went to
and
dinner.
And I ate half of it, put the rest in the freezer, and ate the rest this afternoon.
And then I think Danielle saw that I was jealous, and she's like, "Well, there's more ice cream in the freezers that you can eat."
Because I had stopped buying it because we used to like to eat it like every night, and then we realized we should eat less sugar.
Well, I think we're both addicted
to
sugar.
Yeah.
And like this is all a way to help us quit sugar, but you've been finding ways to get a lot of ice cream without me knowing.
I know.
You gotta be a little bit better about it, Danielle.
I know.
But, you know, we can all be better.
Yeah.
And I want to be better about podcasting.
Yeah,
more.
Me too.
But I think this was a good episode.
Yeah. We unfortunately couldn't prepare too much. So if we were a little scattered, we apologize.
Yeah. But I'm glad we keep it short.
Mm-hmm.
Not
and
necessarily to the
And I think
when
we
point.
Get back, so we're going to Rome in a couple weeks. And I think it'll be very interesting to hear Keith's views.
Yeah,
on how things work.
I've never
Rome.
Been to Europe, so so we probably will. We won't podcast again until after we get back because next weekend is Easter and the Smash Brothers tournament.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what we've been doing.
Yeah.
You know, trying to keep podcasts going up on Game Time Bro.
Yep.
Twitter and Instagram aren't that active, but at Game Time Bro, if you want to take a look. But Danielle, thanks for sitting down.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I guess since you opened the show, I'll close it.
Okay.
So, you know, that was a pod couple.